We're reading from Psalm 5 and can be found on page 544 in the Pew Bible. For the director of music for pipes, a psalm of David. Listen to my words, Lord, consider my lament. Hear my cry for help, my King and my God. For to you I pray. In the morning, Lord, you hear my voice. In the morning I lay my request before you and wait expectantly. For you are not a God who is pleased with wickedness. With you, evil people are not welcome. The arrogant cannot stand in your presence. You hate all who do wrong. You destroy those who tell lies. The bloodthirsty and deceitful, you, Lord, detest. But I, by your great love, can come into your house. In reverence I bow down towards your holy temple. Lead me, Lord, in your righteousness. Because of my enemies, make your way straight before me. Not a word from their mouth can be trusted. Their heart is filled with malice. Their throat is an open grave. With their tongues they tell lies. Declare them guilty, O Lord. Let their intrigues be their downfall. Banish them for their many sins, for they have rebelled against you. But let all who take refuge in you be glad. Let them sing for joy. Spread your protection over them, that those who love your name may rejoice in you. Surely, Lord, you bless the righteous. You surround them with your favor as with a shield. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Jill, thank you very much. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the book of Psalms. And we thank you for how honest they are before you. Father, we pray that as we come to look at this psalm, we'd hear your voice. Would your spirit take your word and teach our hearts? May we hear you touching us this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, let me begin with a question. It's deliberately a provocative one this morning. How should we respond to a world of wickedness? Because let's be brutally honest, there's stuff going on in our world that's wrong, isn't it? There's stuff out there we look out and think, this should not be happening. And we're all different, and we'll all be touched by different things, but here's a few things. Maybe you just look at the war in Ukraine. I tried to get some statistics. Hundreds of thousands of soldiers have now died in that conflict over the last 3.5 years. 12,000 civilians, they've sort of estimated, have died. Why is Putin allowed to get away with that? Maybe you're touched by something closer to home. Maybe you look around and think, with all the wealth of this country, why have we still got 2 in every adults living in poverty and 3 in every 10 children? Why are 40% of the children's in our schools on free school meals? Or maybe it's modern day slavery. 19,000 potential victims in this country of modern day slavery, 31% of those are children. Why are people allowed to get away with treating children like that? And then there's crime. 9.5 million incidents of headline crime in this country. That's theft, robbery, criminal damage, fraud, computer misuse, violence. And apparently that's 12% higher than in 2023. There's threats, of course, we feel at the end and beginning of human life, whether it's the increasing prevalence of abortion or the current proposals for assisted dying. Or maybe it's the fact that Christians around the world are being persecuted. An Open Doors estimate nearly 4,500 died last year. How do we respond when we see these things going on? There'll be things that you'll be touching your heart. There'll be things that really upset you here today. And what happens when that becomes personal? How do you feel if you come home and your home's been burgled? Your bank account scammed? A friend or family member of yours is abused? When someone's treated unfairly or unkindly by others, where the boss is unreasonable, where your children or grandchildren are bullied at school, or where you're mocked and put down for your Christian faith. How do we respond to those things when it's personal? Because as Christians, these are tough, isn't it? We want justice, but we know we need to offer love and forgiveness on the other side. How do we manage those different emotions and feelings? Psalm 5 is all about this. David is face to face with those who are treating him. We don't know the details. Maybe he's still following on from Absalom, the conspiracy in Psalm 3. But this psalm, I think, helps us see how we should respond and how we should respond this side of Jesus Christ. Five things I just want to observe and think about this morning. Firstly, David asked the Lord to hear him. If you've got the Bible open, what does David say? He says, "Listen to my words, Lord. Consider my lament. Hear my cry. Hear my voice. I lay my requests before you." What does he do? He pleads with the Lord. When he's personally feeling the injustice of the world, he prays. And it's very personal, isn't it? Listen to my words, Lord. Consider my lament. Hear my cry for help. My King, my God, to you I pray. In the morning, Lord, hear my voice. In the morning, I lay my requests before you. Friends, as we see the injustice of the world around us, do we turn to the Lord? It struck me, in our prayer times together, do we pray for the injustice we feel and we see that our brothers and sisters feel? So David's got a very personal relationship with the Lord here. And verse 3, he says, "I wait expectantly." Friends, as we come to the Lord, do we wait expectantly, trusting the Lord for the things that we struggle with as we see them in our world? Verse 3, "In the morning, Lord, you hear my voice. In the morning, I lay requests." It's like he gets up, and the first thing he does is he comes to the Lord and says, "Look, I'm struggling with all these things. Please help me." I wonder if we're more tempted to go for the phone and scroll down whatever the latest messages are. David asked the Lord to hear him. Secondly, David remembers the Lord's character. Said to the Lord, "I pour this out before you," he says, "for you are not." See, he remembers truths about God, doesn't he? "For you are not a God who's pleased with wickedness. With you, evil people are not welcome. The arrogant cannot stand in your presence. You hate all who do wrong. You destroy those who tell lies. The bloodthirsty and deceitful you detest. Lord, you, Lord, detest." I don't know about you. That can feel a bit kind of shocking, can't it? But that's God. God is holy. God is perfect. He is not pleased with wickedness. With him, evil is not welcome. He's not ambivalent to injustice. All those things I talked about at the beginning, God cares. Actually, he hates wickedness. Have we forgotten the holiness of God? Have we forgotten that God will not tolerate wickedness and injustice? I wonder if sometimes I need to be reminded of the character of God, the holiness of God, the perfection of God, and how much he hates these things. David remembers the Lord's character. And then David trusts in God's great love. Verse 7, "But," it's another of those buts, "but I, by your great love, can come into your house." See, David is talking here about his coming into the presence of God, no doubt at the tabernacle. In other words, he says, "But I can come." David, this Old Testament believer, recognizes he can come into the presence of God. Why? by your great love. You see, David knows that ultimately he can come into the presence of God, he can have a relationship with God, not on his own merits. For those of you who know David, he messed up big time, misused his power with Bathsheba, and then he kills her husband Uriah. But he knows that by the love of God, he can come into the presence of God. And friends, how much more for us today? Friends, we can enter the presence of God. We can know God because of his great love. Jesus Christ has died for you, for me, so that we can have a relationship with God, to forgive us all our mistakes, to have a relationship personally with him now. How much more do we know the extent of that love when we see what Jesus has done for us? Next weekend, it's Pentecost. And I'm reminded at Pentecost, God loves us so much, he doesn't just even leave us as we are, he comes and dwells in us. How amazing is that? People like you and me who mess up all the time, don't love God, he comes and dwells in us and changes us. Friends, we can too can come into the presence of God because of God's great love. It reminds us we have humility before God, don't we? As we consider the wickedness of our world, we don't enter the presence of God because we're good, but because God loves us. Fourth thing, David prayed for righteousness and justice. Have a look at me, verse 8. Lead me, Lord, in your righteousness because of my enemies. Make your way straight before me. Is this not David praying as he's under pressure, under attack from those out to get him? He says, lead me in the way you want me to live. Lead me in your righteousness. Make your way straight. In other words, well, it's actually what the Lord Jesus teaches us to pray, isn't it, in the Lord's Prayer? Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. That isn't that exactly what David's praying? What Jesus teaches us to pray? And how much do we need to pray that? So I don't know about you, when we're facing injustice, when we're treated badly, we want God to guide us in the way of righteousness. We want to offer love and forgiveness, but we don't want to condone manipulative behavior. We recognize there needs to be justice, but we want to offer forgiveness. I don't know about you, sometimes I see an injustice, someone treats me badly or says something I think is unfair. My response is not always, it's mixed. See, if we're angered at injustice, that must come from a desire for holiness, not personal revenge. But then David prays, doesn't he, that God would act. Not a word from their mouth can be trusted. Their heart is filled with malice. Their throat is an open grave. With their tongues they tell lies. I assume he's talking about those who are his adversaries. It's their words that cannot be trusted. It's a contrast with God's words. We just sung of that. How firm a foundation is laid in the word of God. And then he says, Lord, praise for justice, doesn't he? Verse 10, declare them guilty, O God. Let their intrigues be their downfall. Banish them for their many sins, for they have rebelled against you. It is right to pray for justice. We have a criminal justice system. It is right that those who do wrong should face the consequences. Now, the reality is, for many, that will not happen until Jesus returns. And this verse from 2 Thessalonians is helpful. God is just. He will pay back trouble to those who trouble you and give relief to you who are troubled and to us as well. This will happen when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven in blazing fire and his powerful angels. One day, Jesus will come return. He will come back. I'm reminded in the prayers, it was Ascension Day, remembering Jesus' ascension into heaven, but one day he's going to return, and that will be a day of justice. And how will any of us stand on that day? Because it's interesting, verse 9 of our passage, not a word from their mouth can be trusted, their heart is filled with malice, their throat is an open grave, with their tongues they tell lies. Do you know what? The Apostle Paul quotes that in Romans 3. And he says, actually, we all do that. It takes a bit of a twist, this psalm, when you realise how Paul uses it. Apostle Paul says, actually, we're all a bit like this, because actually, none of our words are always perfect, are they? Our words, well, sometimes we lie, sometimes we manipulate. They're not always trustworthy. So on one level, we're all the enemies of God here. And that brings us to our final point. David rejoiced in the protection of the Lord. In the end, none of us can stand on our own merit. On our own standing, we end up being the enemies of God. We don't treat him as we should. So we come back and reminded of God's love. That in Jesus, we're forgiven for all our mistakes. And look what the promise is made. But let all who take refuge in you be glad. Let them ever sing for joy. If we know Jesus Christ and we know his love, well, then we will be secure with God forever. Spread your protection over them, that those who love your name may rejoice in you. One day, we will join with all God's people when Jesus returns. The book of Revelation declares, to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be praise and honor and glory and power forever and ever. One day, everyone will bow. Surely, Lord, you bless the righteous. You surround them with your favor as with a shield. None of us are righteous, but Jesus is righteous. And so as we believe in him and trust in him and are united with him, well, then we're blessed. Blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms. Friends, as we look out in a world of injustice, a world where things are profoundly wrong, how should we respond? I think this psalm is helpful. David asked the Lord to hear him. Are we going to be those who pray? For prayer on Wednesday, we'll have a big time of prayer, I think, for injustice in our world. And just bring it to the Lord. We're going to remember the Lord's character, that he hates injustice. He hates wickedness. He wants what is good and pure. David trusted God's great love. We'll do the same. We can't approach in our own merits. We need to know the love of God in Jesus. We'll pray for righteousness, for God's wisdom and guidance, for justice in this world and ultimately when Jesus returns. And we'll rejoice mostly in all we have in Christ. It's a challenging psalm, this one. There's a lot going on. But it seems it does help as we think about how to respond to the injustice of this world. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for this psalm. Thank you for David's honesty. And Father, we pray that your spirit would shape us to also respond, trusting your purposes, but also knowing all we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.